Today is the Feast of Pentecost, and in some ways, I think of the Pentecost as kind of the neglected feast of the church, and in some ways, the Holy Spirit is the neglected person of the Trinity. Obviously, they're all God, and whenever we worship God, we're worshiping God in all three persons, but we the Holy Spirit is that's something maybe we don't understand or appreciate as much as we could. And one of the reasons what makes this celebration unique, I think, is it's one of the few that we have that really celebrates the church in itself. We have feasts of it's one of the three great pillars of our faith. We have Christmas, the incarnation, you know, which is Jesus becoming man, and of course Easter is the great feast of the church. That is the feast of our resurrection. It's the feast of Jesus' victory over death. The Holy Spirit is God, Jesus sending his Spirit into the world as he said he would, and it is the feast of the creation of the church, if you will. And Jesus did intend to, that's one of these things, you know, everybody, theologians, they get published by trying to make trouble sometimes, I think, and, you know, sometimes people will write things, well, did God really intend to make a church? Yes, he did. And, you know, Jesus said specifically to Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And it is Peter, of course, was left as the leader of the church, but the leader implies that there is something there to lead, and that is us. And this feast today, and especially this reading from Acts, makes it clear that while Peter might have been the leader, it is the foundation of the apostles upon which the church was built, because all of them received that Spirit, and all of them were driven into the street to preach. And it is important to remember that. So we need a church, well, because God said we wanted a church, but I think that it's important. But there's more than that. It's because we have, there's always, we're in many ways have two sort of aspects of our life. One is that we are individuals, but the other is that we are a community. And the Holy Spirit is there for both of us. And in these two stories that we have today, these two readings, we have how the Holy Spirit works in us in both ways. Jesus, first of all, this is a story of the Holy Spirit coming into the world. In the gospel we just read, Jesus says, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And that is important. He received the Holy Spirit. He breathes that on his disciples, on those in the room. And when doing so, he is showing us, I think, that the Holy Spirit is his life breath. He gives them his life. He gives them, of course, the authority to forgive and retain sins, and that's another homily there. But the Spirit is Jesus' life breath breathed into the disciples. And the Spirit is God's life breath breathed into us to bring us to life, to die to the old self, to rise to the new self, and to be in Christ. And our relationship with God has that individual component to it that perhaps has been neglected in past times, and now we emphasize it. And it's important to realize that. We're not just, the church is made up of individuals, but individuals in relationship with Christ. And we have to remember that. And Jesus gives himself to us. And Jesus gives himself to us in the sacraments. He gives himself to us especially in the sacrament of the altar. And in doing so, we have a personal relationship with Christ, because each of us individually has his life breath within us. But we want to remember that's not all, because a lot of now, you know, because for some reason we always have to go too far some way or the other. Sometimes people will say, well, I just need Jesus in me. You know, my faith is just Jesus in me. And Jesus in me is important, because how else I have to live in the world as me, you know. And so there has to be a Jesus in me component, but that's not all, because we don't naturally live by ourselves. Radical isolation is considered unusual. There are such a things as hermit monks, but even a hermit monk would probably say he's not alone, because God is with him, and that is true. So even a hermit monk, like I say, is not alone. But normally, we live in a community. We're born into a community. We're born into a family. And it is from that family that we go into the community in which we live. And, of course, in the world. And it is the church that is the community of Jesus. It is the family of God. And in doing, and it is, been, it, the church has been entrusted with the mysteries of faith, because of the danger, of course, of being just an individual is we may think things that are mistaken sometimes. And we have a church there to help us to be, you know, get the faith right, if you will, to learn the faith as God has given it to us. But also, too, it is through the church that we spread the gospel into the world. And each of us has a calling. We have a calling from God, from the Holy Spirit individually, and that is true. But that call manifests itself to the world, I think, through the church somehow. Even if our call is to witness to the gospel at our work, you know, by living our life, by being a person of virtue, by loving and all of that, we do that from the aspect of being a member of the church. And for an example of this, now in my case, I felt called to be a priest. I had that individual call, and that has to be there, obviously, or a person isn't going to approach the church. But there's another aspect to the call that we don't always think about, and that is the church calling me? Because that's an aspect of a lot of times people themselves will feel called, but when they contact the church, you know, the church says, yeah, maybe you need to explore other options. Well, here I am, so I guess the church decided, okay, well, we can use you. But that's not always the case. So that call has to be sort of somehow manifested in our relationship in the church. Somehow the church can help us, I think, to answer that call in whatever way we do. So as I say, today is the feast of the church. And it is through the church that we manifest ourselves to the world. The church gives us the scriptures. The church especially gives us, well, Jesus gives us the sacraments, but he gives the sacraments to the church. And the church is the one through whom Jesus works through the sacraments, and especially through the sacrament of the altar, which is Jesus himself. And so it is through the church, then, that we receive what I call, well, people will often say, you know, why did you want to become a Catholic? Because, of course, before I became a priest, I had to become Catholic. And the short answer I've come up with is that it is through the church that I think we get maximum Jesus, Because that's true. Because Jesus works through all the sacraments, but especially the sacrament of the altar, which is Jesus himself. And so it is through Jesus, through the church, we can get the most Jesus possible. And that is a wonderful thing. So the church is something to celebrate. The church and the Holy Spirit, which forms the church, which unites us to Jesus as individuals, but also unites us as church. The Holy Spirit is how God works in the world today. He guides us through this life to his life in the kingdom, to the next life, life in the kingdom of heaven, life with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, life eternal.